Welcome to In the Name of Game.
Welcome to our In the Name of Game spoiler alert special episode featuring The Last of Us. Today is July 1st, 2013. And welcome to our special Last of Us spoiler edition episode of In the Name of Game. Here's your early warning. We're doing something different this time around, and it's on a different day. So if you haven't played The Last of Us yet, you probably don't want to listen to this episode just yet. Wait till you have, or I don't know, just keep it on the back burner for a while. But we are going to do an in-depth discussion of the game, and only the game, today.
Fair warning. Get out while you can.
Exactly. But I'm your host, Iggy.
And I'm co-host, Adam.
And I should just say, start by saying, holy fuck.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Just get it all out. Just let it go.
Now, this is one of those games, I mean, I think the hype was already insane, right? Before the Last of Us had even been released, because everybody's expectations are so high from, you know, Uncharted 3, yeah, there were some minor problems with it, but overall, it just keeps raising the bar every time Naughty Dog releases another game.
Right, so, and they said Naughty Dog plus zombies, and everyone was so excited.
And everyone lost their shit.
Yep.
Oh, plus Ellen Page, but kind of not plus.
Oh, yeah. Fake Ellen Page.
There's actually, is it Kotaku or Polygon? One of those sites, they have comparison pictures. Apparently, at one point of the production of The Last of Us, it really did look like Ellen Page. Like,
yeah,
you've seen it probably, right?
It is uncanny. Like, it is, I mean, it's her. Like, they'd have no defense if they said, no, we actually just tried to design a brand new character. It's Ellen Page.
Right. And it looked a little bit older.
It. Yeah, yeah. It looks Ellen Page's age. And then they changed her, made her a little cuter, changed the nose and mouth a bit, and gave her some of that childlike wonder in the eyes.
Like, and, bigger eyes, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And so now we just have something that's kind of Ellen Page-like.
And I didn't realize, like, I forget the name, Ashley Johnson, I think is the yes. actor's name.
Yep.
I was like, why does she look familiar? I was like, oh, the last thing I saw her in was that waitress in The Avengers, the one that was.
It's weird, because she was in The Avengers, and she's also in Much Ado About Nothing, Joss Whedon's black and white Shakespeare movie, yeah.
But she impressed me because at first when I found out who it was, I'm like, I really don't know much about her acting, but it worked. She does a very good survival Ellen Page character.
Yep.
I guess you would call it. But yeah, no, it's a hell of a game. I mean, I would say a lot of people think, like, oh, whatever, it's probably just like just any other game, right? And then that whole intro happens, which is like, okay, if you had any question about the tone of this game, that intro sets the tone pretty damn well.
Well, actually, before I got my hands on a copy, I happened to be at, like, a friend's house where a bunch of people were over, and they were just playing through the intro just to show the whole party there, and I knew.
How would you show that at a party? That's a huge down for a party.
I know. It was that kind of party. But I knew, like, I tried to stay away from spoilers as much as possible, and I did not read anything before I played the game because I didn't want to ruin it. But I knew that's not the girl from any of the clips. And everyone else at the party that had maybe less of an idea of the game than I did, they thought it was the same girl. They thought it was Ellie in the beginning. And so when she died, everyone lost their shit.
Oh, jeez. And it's so fast.
Yeah.
It's crazy fast. Like,
well, I think even the crazier thing is, and then it's 20 years later.
Yeah. I mean, there's some story point where they indicate, like, what's his face? Joel was apparently kind of young when he got married or had a kid.
Maybe right.
Didn't get married. I can't remember if he
actually. Yeah, because he mentioned that he did not go to school. He did not go to university.
Right. So it's like he got married or he had a kid young.
Yeah.
And the assumption is that even though he, to me, looked a little bit older, I would assume he's only maybe in his mid-20s or something in the
Yeah, he's weathered. He's very weathered, so you can't really tell in the intro.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, and it sets everything up perfectly, because it's like, playing as the girl just makes you, I don't know, I think it's so much more effective in some weird way, because it's like, she's clueless about what's happening, you're clueless about what's happening. It makes the whole scene creepier, because it's like, you're so small and walking around a creepy, yes, dark house, and I'm like, oh god, please don't make me have to do something with this poor girl.
Frail little girl, and everything's exploding outside, and cars, ambulances, sirens going off, like, yeah.
Did you explore everything in the house before that happened?
Yeah, I did. Because at that party I mentioned, there were like some rooms that he didn't even bother going in. And I'm like, go in that room.
Oh, the one like, oh, you missed the birthday card. And you missed
the newspaper in the bathroom on the counter, like with the headlines and stuff. So
the phone. You can totally not pick up the phone either. The one that's in the kitchen that has the text messages.
So, yeah, from his brother, right?
Yeah, that one is less important, because it's like, you're going to see him in like 2 seconds anyway.
Yeah.
But still. Like, they captured that dynamic so well between the two of them. Like, just from the couch conversation, I was like, okay, they got something. You know, it doesn't feel like a bad father-daughter relationship necessarily. Like, she indicates in the birthday card, like, sometimes you're an ass and sometimes you know, whatever, but somehow
you don't
you
like
still
anything I do,
yeah,
but you're still
but you still awesome. Somehow manage to be the best dad ever or something. So maybe he doesn't have the best values as a dad, but he's a good enough dad that, you know, his daughter really loves him. So that,
hey, listen, I'll say this right now, if I wish, you know, he were my dad if I were in that situation. You know,
yeah, but
seeing how
dead.
Well, okay, right, fair enough. Not necessarily that, but the father figure he plays to Ellie throughout, and what he's willing to do to not lose another daughter, quote
unquote.
Which is pretty much everything. That's the quality I was referring to.
And I thought he had like an amazing kind of, I mean, okay, I've been listening to a lot of other people's spoiler like discussions about the game.
Yeah.
And some of them have made it pretty clear, like, they don't think, even at the by, you know, the whole end of the game, like, Joel is not really a good guy. Which, you know, I feel kind of like, hey, wait a minute, but then I stop and then I think about some of the stuff that he's done and I'm like, yeah, I mean, he's not really a great guy. Like, maybe before the apocalypse, like, or whatever the event, he wasn't too bad. But even then, there's some indications, like with Tommy, that from their dialogue, that something, he did something bad. And that Tommy was like, fuck you for doing that way back when, you know, like that was a really shitty thing to do or whatever. And it must have been bad because it's like, what, that's 20 years later and he's still mentioning it.
Yeah, and even the, you know, Ellie questions him about the ambush and stuff, and he says, I've been on both sides of this, and she says, have you killed innocent people?
And then he just kind of doesn't say anything or something?
Yeah.
I forget. Yeah. Or maybe he kind of mumbles or whatever. Like, he doesn't directly say the answer, but it's pretty clear, like, yeah, he probably killed a lot of people that didn't deserve it.
Right, and, you know, I felt that throughout the game at some points, like, really, do I have to kill all of these people? Like, because a lot of times I end up giving up on stealth about halfway through, you know, when I've killed about half the people in the area.
Yeah.
And I'll just go balls out and shoot them with everything I got. But,
well, see, that's the problem I had with, you know, being a completionist with a lot of games. I mean, 80% of the time I'm still trying to stealth it because I love stealth gameplay. And so that was my mostly priority. But the other 20%, I was like, I know there's some fucking bottle of pills in here. I know there's got to be. But I know in order to search the whole place, the safest thing to do is kill everybody off instead of trying to stealth and search for this stuff at the same fucking time. So
So how long did it take you to beat it? Because it seemed like you got done with it really fast. I guess you had the initial weekend, whereas I got it
on that Friday, which is a weird day, by the way, for them to release it. Usually games are like with Tuesdays, right?
Tuesdays, yeah.
So Friday, it's like, what? But whatever. Yeah, I got it same day delivery or whatever on Friday, and I was playing it the entire weekend. And I think... trying to remember. I don't remember playing it on Sunday. So yeah, I played it a lot of Friday and then pretty much all of Saturday because I was like, I'm not doing anything today. I'm just going to play this fucking game. And then you get to a certain point and you're like, well, now I'm definitely not stopping because clearly some crazy shit, like right after fall. And I'm like, okay, I can't stop now because this is too major. So
yeah, that was my marathon the other night when I finally got out of fall.
But see, the seasons are deceptive. So it's like, if you notice, they divide the game into seasons. So you can figure out pretty much when you hit spring, it's like, okay, I must be almost done, because that makes sense. But the seasons themselves last totally different amounts of time, because it felt like summer took forever.
Yeah.
And then fall wasn't too long. Winter was pretty damn short, depending on how you played that section.
Yeah, winter and spring were both much shorter.
Yeah, really short. But it was, you know, a nice little sampling of seasons, which I thought was kind of cool.
It was definitely fun when you first get into the snow because it's so different.
Yeah.
And it's way calmer and,
yeah, with the deer hunting and all that.
Yeah. By the way, that whole time I'm like, I am so far from my horse. Like, how am I even going to get this deer back there? Like,
well, that's the thing.
What is this, Red Dead Redemption? I'm just going to whistle and the horse is going to come, right?
Like, yeah, because it's like, Ellie's so small. So yeah. I was like, okay, I know she's tough. There's no question about that.
Right.
Still, there's physical limitations here. Which is the other thing, because, okay, obviously, I want to say it's a spoiler, but duh, we're talking about spoilers this whole episode. So when Joel collapses right before fall is over, it's like, how the fuck did she get him back on that horse?
Yeah.
He's a big guy. She's not. So unless she had to do some fucking pulley fulcrum something, you know, try to get him back on the horse, that must have taken a while.
I think they did a really clever thing in that they cut right from him falling off the horse to her tracking this deer through the snow. And, like, for a while, you're like, oh, is he dead? Is he alive? Yeah, and then when we finally see him again, we're not even thinking about the mechanics of...
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I still was, because I was like...
Yeah.
I was so surprised that they cut at that point and went into winter that I was like... the first thing I thought is, would they really have killed him off? No. Yeah. Like, that seems so... I mean, even for Naughty Dog, who tries, you know, interesting plot lines, like, that still seems pretty extreme. I was totally thinking of... Wait, have you played Uncharted 3?
I have not beat it. I actually started playing it again after I beat this game.
Okay, well, without saying what happens, there is an event in there that totally faked me out. And so I couldn't... And anyone that's played it will know which one that is. And I thought the same thing was happening here, so I was already kind of prepared. I'm like, they're not really going to do it. Because they could have done it before, but they didn't do it.
Yeah.
That's really gutsy to kill somebody off like that.
The whole time I thought he'd end up dying in the end just because I was so conditioned by the Walking Dead game.
Yeah. Oh, God, the Walking Dead game. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's like instantly bringing me down. Just...
Yeah.
But such good... Both guys... Such interesting characters.
And the whole father-daughter dynamic, father-daughter, that happens in both those games is really, really good.
Yeah, I would actually say, if anybody listening hasn't played Telltale, I'm not talking about the Activision one, you can skip that one. The Telltale's Walking Dead game, the adventure game, not the first-person shooter, if you haven't played that, and you've played The Last of Us, you should totally play that one right afterwards. Like, granted, the look is different, the whole concept is really different, because you're not really doing so much combat, well, once in a while you are, but it's like a plot choices and that sort of thing. But the quality is almost on par. Like,
it's I think it's two studies of the same subject matter, you know, and they do pair really nicely together.
And you have totally, well, I guess it really depends how you play Lee in Walking Dead. Like, you can actually make him like a dick, but I think most people kind of usually don't.
I think it's supposed to be the moral barometer that we're feeling while we're playing it, right?
Yeah.
Most of us, if you're a serial killer, a sociopath in training or something, then you're just going to get the whole time or something. Right?
Yeah, like, you can do that weird thing in The Walking Dead where you get the option to say, like, nothing. It's such a douchey thing to do. But people do it, like, all the time because they want to see, like, can I play a whole game by just doing the dot, dot, dot selections? And it's actually kind of funny because half the time, like, it'll unnerve whoever's talking to you. Like, sometimes they'll just, like, try to brush it off, and other times they'll be like, you like, they won't be able, like, it'll be awkward, and they'll have a hard time recovering.
I could see that. I'd be very unnerved if I'm talking to someone and they just stare at me or look around shifty-eyed, you know?
Or start, like, poking boxes because they just
think so. Yeah.
So Joel is... that's not true. I was going to say he's the anti-Lee, but he's really not. Like, they're very similar in some respects, but then very different in other ones. Because Lee, even if you make him an asshole, there's still general, like, the same moments, you know, like, where he'll say stuff that you don't have a choice about. That still indicates, like, he has a pretty good personality. And he can, if you let him, he can get along very well with other people. Because he's, like, the unofficial sort of leader of a lot of those groups. But Joel is kind of like the, it's not really the antithesis, but, like, he is very different. Like, he totally, with the exception of being with Tess, seems like he prefers to just go it alone. Very hard to trust people. Purposely doesn't probably want to get close to people because of all the stuff that happened to him. So,
yeah, and in the game, really, he's gets close to four people max. And, like, you know, his brother, you leave his brother, the two brothers that he meets, I can't remember their names.
I was going to say Walt, but that's the guy from Lost.
Yeah.
Walt! No. Henry and Sam? I think.
It sounds right.
Definitely Let's Henry, though. Him. But, man, so depressing. Like, I kind of had a bad feeling there.
Yeah.
Not because they're black, because they always do the thing where they kill off the black characters first. But just because he was too optimistic, which was kind of refreshing considering everybody else was like a Debbie Downer. But there was something about it, I'm like, oh, God, something really bad is going to happen to, like, just totally shake this guy's optimism.
Yeah, I knew one way or another they were going to be leaving this story because it's about Joel and Ellie, you know? And it becomes weird if there's just two extra people there the whole time.
Well,
even if they're nice, and even if everyone's getting along and working together.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. It was probably on purpose. It couldn't be a coincidence that they did have a couple instances where either they physically or verbally showed that, you know, if push comes to shove, I'm choosing my brother over you two. You know, like...
Oh, yeah, well, on top of the bus was one where... You know, Joel was on the ground, right?
And right.
He didn't help him.
Right. So, but, I mean, that was in the back of my mind, and I was thinking the whole time, like, okay, this can't be a long-term thing, because there's just not that kind of required trust level in this sort of story for this. So it's like, if this was something where maybe they would have a chance at surviving, I would think that they would try harder to, like, watch each other's back. But the fact that they had a slight disregard for that... made me think, like, okay, that means technically these guys are expendable, because what they do works just the same way for Joel, because if push comes to shove with Joel, that means he has no qualms with saying, hey, fuck you guys, because you said fuck me, or fuck you to me. But it still was shitty. Like, I didn't think that Henry was going to get bitten or infected or anything, but I really was wondering if Sam was, because he was not prepared at the same level that Ellie was. Like, clearly they both existed starting from the cordyceps infection onwards. Like, they weren't, like, part of the previous generation, so it's not like he was necessarily surprised by everything he saw, but it seems like he treated it in a way that wasn't as effective survival-wise compared to what Ellie did. Like, Ellie, you know, she defends herself. She's pretty kind of brutal when she needs to be, that sort of thing. But Sam always seemed like he's a bit too gentle or a bit too, like, I just want to kind of curl up and sort of hide, which is not really a great response for a lot of these situations.
Yeah, he's a softer kid, and it's, you know, like, there are kids like that, obviously, and
yeah. He isn't one. But I mean, for this kind of story,
live. Yeah,
yeah, you know? It's like, if I had to do the checklist of things that are probably going to get you killed in a story like this, like that's probably one of them.
Yeah.
Like caring too much, being too scared, not trying to. Not doing the nice karmic wheel thing where you help somebody out enough, you know, like if you do too many naughty things, yeah, your time's up probably. But yeah, they were really interesting. Bill was pretty interesting, big obnoxious guy that he was, and the whole, like, I like how other people said this too. I like how they didn't like smash you in the face with the fact that he was gay. Like, they mentioned it maybe twice in two different ways indirectly, and you're like, oh, okay.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, the thing with Frank, that partner of his, when he said partner, that didn't click for me, because I was like, well, he seems like the type of guy that could also refer to, like, somebody you travel with as, like, a partner. You know, like, partner in crime or whatever. But then...
Yeah, and they had a couple, like, moments. Like, if you picked up the note from Frank...
Yeah, he gets a little,
like,
catty.
I'm sick of you. Yeah.
Yeah, like, he's like, I don't like the way you dress, and I don't like all these other things. And I'm like, really? And then it was,
right, so it's like a lover's quarrel, but at the same time, you're just like, okay, well, he's just being oddly specific about his problems with him. I guess maybe they are cooped up together, and yeah, they just got sick of each other. But then with the porno man that Ellie's looking at in the car.
What, these pages stuck together?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty... I like that scene. That's pretty funny. And it also
shows... I really liked Bill, too, because he's played by this actor, W. Earl Brown, who's from Deadwood. And I picked it up right away.
Does he have the same voice?
Yeah, he's using the same voice, and he looks like him. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, in terms of voices, the biggest surprise for me was that creepy David character was played by Nolan North.
Oh, yeah. Didn't even occur to me.
I thought there's another guy that usually plays a lot of characters in these in Uncharted games and also other games. What's his name? Robin Atkins Downs? He played... He was, like, the bad guy in Uncharted 3, and actually in Uncharted 1, too, and then also did some other characters. Like, he's done a lot of characters, and I'm pretty sure he probably was somewhere in The Last of Us also, either as a motion actor or, like, a voice actor. But whatever creepy twist that Nolan North was doing to his voice made him actually kind of sound like Robin Atkins Downs. So I was like, oh, is that him? Like, it's hard to tell. It kind of sounds like both of them sometimes.
Yeah.
But, eek. Man, that guy. Oof. But yeah,
I think, well, that was kind of like another parallel to the Walking Dead game, because there was the guy, the creepy guy that was talking to
near the end
her the whole time. He wanted her to be his new daughter, but
see, there's something different in that respect. Like, he's creepy, and there's no question about it. But in some twisted way, I don't think he was going to do what David was clearly going to do.
Right.
David had some really not cool, like, no, she's not going to be your daughter. She's probably going to be, like, they referred to her as his pet.
Pet, yeah, and very creepy. Pet or something, right?
Yeah, the latest
there
pet.
There have been others.
Others, and the fact that it's a fucking pack of, like, cannibalistic people.
Yeah.
So it's like either one or the other thing is going to happen, and they're both bad. Or maybe both, which is, ugh, God. So, yeah.
It was disappointing with that guy, especially after you went through that huge firefight with him.
Yeah,
you
like,
know?
I can understand from a story point how they're trying to pull the wool over your eyes, because it's like, well, nothing makes you question somebody more than the fact that you guys just went through shit together and he actively defended you.
Yeah.
So... Of course, when you think back on it, of course they would use that kind of plot device, because that makes you put your guard down. But I still couldn't, like, there was still something creepy about his, like, his character design just looks creepy. So even when he was being, like, friendly David, I was like, there's something really, like, ratty about this dude.
He looks like it because he has an angular face, you know.
Yeah, he's got like a like weird gaunt features, a big kind of crooked nose, and like really greasy hair and all this stuff. And it's like when you put the combination together, he's kind of like a stereotypical kind of like creeper guy. So when he was acting different, I'm like, something was not adding up here. Like I was like, okay, I'll go along with it because he's helping me kill these fucking. I was gonna say walkers. He's helping me kill these fucking infected people. But there's something not kosher here. And then, of course, you know, he ends up being nuts. But that was maybe the only weak part I found about the game, like, in terms of the story, that they did such a extreme about-face with his character. Like, okay, he's starting to get a little creepy. Then he's, like, in the burning building sequence. Like, he's just really creepy. Like, whoa, where the fuck did that come from? Did he have to turn it up to like almost like ludicrous levels of creepiness? Yeah. Like the stuff he's saying while he's trying to find you and shit. It's like, it's like overkill a little bit. Like you can still have him be creepy, but not like that creepy. I don't know.
And yeah, the building's on fire. He's crawling around saying whatever he was saying. And that is a super creepy moment.
Yeah, I almost think that, like, that suffers from one of those kind of movie tropes that they always do where there's, like, 15 different times he could have easily killed her. But he's like, no, I'm going to play around some more. It's like, would you really need to play around some more? She already broke your finger. She's already actually stabbed you a couple times. It's like, how many times are you going to keep playing? Oh, and you're going to let her grab that knife from behind the, from under the bench or whatever. Oh, okay, now you're dead. But yeah, he's really creepy. Villain, the David character.
David is definitely a creep. David.
not the podcast David.
Yeah, where is he? He's also a creep.
No, but so after that point, I think it was really dramatic for me just because I was waiting for Ellie to have one of those moments where it's like, okay, she's going to have a turning point because Joel clearly had a turning point when he started caring more about her. Yeah. Like, you could see him shifting. Right. But it took her hacking that dude's face in to kind of start adjusting.
Yeah, losing it and understanding, like, oh, I can get raped in this new world, you know? Like,
yeah, it's... Well, not just that, but it's like, she'd already been killing a lot of people before. Yeah. Like, the whole thing leading up to that, she's actually murdering almost half those people, right? Because they're like, a little girl killed everybody? Yeah. What the fuck? But... It took somebody personally assaulting her, I think, for her to be like, oh, God. Because you notice her afterwards when Joel's all happy that he's like, yay, we're back together, you know, later in the spring or whatever. She's really quiet, and she doesn't really talk that much.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell, well, maybe it's either because of that or it's because maybe they were getting closer to their destination and she was starting to think, like, oh, what if I... Like, I don't know, do you think she knew that they would have to open her brain for that?
I don't think she put any thought into it. Maybe blood tests or something, at least that's what I was thinking.
I thought it was fireflies left. I thought it was going to be the movie thing, where it's like, they take a syringe of blood, and they're like, oh,
with this we can, let's like, start working on the synthetic, and we'll...
Yeah, like Star Trek. Wait, did you see Star Trek?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Yeah.
Like that's all you need is a drop of somebody's blood.
Right.
Yeah, but no.
Not the case. Did you listen to the tape recorder, the BioShock Infinite style?
The audio log thing?
Audio log from the woman that gave the go-ahead. I can't remember her name either.
Marlene. Yeah.
She gave the go-ahead, and she was talking about, like, I promised I'd protect her.
I think she had a thing with, like, the mom, maybe, or something like that. Because she seemed like she cared about her a little too much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wasn't...
But not as much as Joel did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Overly.
But, a little too much. But, so Marlene, there's that... And I think it's in the last level, right? Where there's two audio logs. There's one with a scientist guy explaining how the cordyceps thing works.
Yeah.
And then there's the other one of her saying, well, this is what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, oh, they said we have to do this, and I'm just so over it. Let's do it. Like,
I think that actually, I wish they'd had one of those audio things a little bit earlier. But I guess, wait, did it have the spoiler in there that you'd have to operate on the brain?
The first audio log was the other Firefly guy, the dead guy, and he was saying all the Fireflies, they went to
such and such place,
the other hospital. and that's where you can find them. But I think there were only three or four.
There were only those, I think, yeah. Because everything else was a message that you could read, which it took me the first couple to realize it wasn't super obvious that you had to press square to actually read it. Oh,
you were just trying to read artifact type for some reason, style.
Because the first couple actually had somewhat legible cursive, right. So I'm like, okay, this is really going to suck if this is what I'm supposed to do. And then later I was like, oh, duh, in the upper right-hand corner, it says fucking read.
Press triangle or square or whatever to read. I was actually bummed that you couldn't thumb through the comic books that they had.
Yeah, I found like four or five of those things, and then Joel goes, oh, this is the comic book that Ellie likes to read.
Ellie, I found another one.
Yeah.
But then you could just flip it over and read the back, and that's it.
I think maybe they didn't think that far ahead or something. They're like, well, we clearly want this character. What is it like?
It was a parallel, like, it was kind of, a comment on the current situation just through the synopsis on the back of them, so it's like, you know, we're alone in space or whatever, and like, oh, I get it. But, I don't know, I was so used to, like, Skyrim, where you can just read all this stuff, so...
Somebody was saying, there was some article a while back when Skyrim was first released, and they were like, oh my god... Like, there's literally hundreds of books, essentially, that you can actually... Yeah. You could just sit down and read, was it, like, The Lonely Argonian Maid or something like that? And just sit down and read them. And
there are plenty of people who have done that. So I thought maybe Naughty Dog was going to give us at least, you know, the five issues that you find to thumb through. But
I'm not so bummed, but it did kind of break it a little bit for me, because I'm like, look, you can read all these miniature notes of things.
Yeah.
Couldn't I at least read, like, one or two pages of the comic?
But you can read the Lover's Quarrel note that we talked about earlier, but you can't read the comic.
There was actually a bunch of really interesting notes. If you read, you know, the that hideout that was, like, in the sewers or something, where this guy named Ish or something, he there's this whole, if you read these sequences of notes, there's a guy that was hiding in there that had made that his stronghold or whatever, and then either one of the two brothers that you're...
You're talking about, like, where you find the kindergarten-type area?
Yes, okay. So it's like, did you read a lot of the notes in that area?
Yeah, I feel like I did, but then again, I checked my trophy percentage after I finished it.
Oh, maybe you didn't.
5% total.
Shit. Okay, so you missed some stuff.
Oh my god, I think I got 3 trophies total. I was so pissed off.
I don't think I got that many. They're really hard trophies to get for that game. You have to do...
I went a long time, and I'm like, a trophy hasn't popped up yet, and then... I had 3 total.
But that was one area that had some really interesting notes. Like, there's this guy, Ish, I think, and basically he was in there by himself.
Okay.
And he had been kind of, like, fighting off people and whatever, and he's like, one day, a bunch of people didn't try to shoot me, and they actually wanted to trade. And then, so he became friends with that group of people. And then after a certain period of time, he was like, dude, it's much safer in here. It seemed like it was safer in here. Why don't you guys all come in here? And so he did that. And they had that kindergarten, whatever. Like, they started to kind of flourish in there. And then something went wrong. Like, I think maybe someone got infected or something got loose inside there. And then everything went to shit.
Yeah.
Because once you're in there, it's all enclosed and, like, what's going to happen? But later, when you get out of there and you're going back through those houses again, there's one final note that's kind of like the prequel to all the notes saying, like, well, this guy seems pretty nice. I think his name is Ish or something.
Oh, that's cool.
Maybe we should go check out what he has to offer. I'm like, oh, God, that's
cool, because that way you can kind of track, because they were all heading the opposite direction that you're heading.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
And so a lot of that stuff kind of fleshes out the world more for me, and I feel like it makes it more real.
Yeah.
But, so that was pretty cool. But let's see. So spring happens. Yep. Spring's over really quick. I thought it was going to be longer, but it really just kind of went boop, and then it was done.
You feel like the season should be equal length.
That's the thing. Like, I was thinking the whole time, like, I must not be that far along, because it's like, okay, winter happened, but whoa, winter's really fast. What the fuck?
Spring. And maybe even winter should be longer, because you think that it would be more of a struggle during winter.
Yeah.
Because it's so cold, and, you know, you don't have as many food sources, I guess.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it's funny that they decided to do, like, a time lapse for that season.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not the other ones. And then spring happens, and then I couldn't tell. They make a comment, or Marlene makes a comment at one point when she finds Joel and Ellie after they're almost drowned or something. Mm-hmm. Or Ellie drowned? I can't remember. So
Ellie falls in the water,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's then, the scene before the guards come.
Right, and
they
knock
yeah.
him out, even though he was like, help her.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, wow,
she's
nice
dying.
Guys.
Yeah, like, we don't care.
We don't give a shit.
Yeah.
There's a...
By the way, before we get into that, I think that was the most Uncharted aspect of the whole game. The whole bus thing,
oh.
where he's going through the bus from the toe, and then she's
now,
on top.
How
and...
successful were you with that whole infected area before that? Because they laid out... There's like two
right.
or three spots before that, where it feels like if you do things right, maybe you can get through without alerting any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they provide you like a shitload of bottles, and you're like,
oh,
okay,
yeah.
so I need to toss these,
yeah,
and
just
quickly
keep
run.
Throwing them farther and farther. And lead him away.
Yeah.
I think I had to do the second patch, you know,
is that the one
of
where
everyone.
You had to lift her up on the bus?
Yeah, yeah. Right before that, where there were a few of the bloaters.
Yeah.
Is
there
that
was two
called?
Bloaters
yeah.
next to each other, and I'm like, fuck. I lucked out once, because the first time I died because some glitch happened where I was at the bus,
mm-hmm.
but like she wouldn't trigger like the here get up
yeah.
get up on the bus, and then they're like, hey, what the fuck, and then they saw me.
I tried to run past them all, and she said, no, there are too many people around.
Yeah, she said something like that, and
yeah.
I was like, fuck, because then they all
right.
descended on me and it was over. But the second time around, there was some glitch or something maybe where I tossed a bottle, everyone went bleh, but one of the bloaters stayed, but I'm like, shit, so I tried to sneak around behind him. Maybe they don't have the same, they might not be like clickers, maybe they don't
yeah.
have that kind of sense or sound sensitivity, but I got past him and I was like, whew, okay, and then I did the bus thing, but
I got through the second time with one of those smoke grenade things.
Oh, that works.
So I threw bottles away, and then I threw two smoke grenades down, like one kind of in the water and then one kind of on the dry
right.
land, and then I just placed her up. And
I
over.
Didn't realize, I never realized that the smoke bombs worked on infected. I always assumed it was soldiers.
Yeah, it does. I mean, they...
Shit.
I guess they can't see through it anymore, and I guess the clickers
well, that's the thing, like, clickers can't see it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I assume, like, oh, I'm not
it's always fun hitting
them
with the smoke grenade,
oh,
too, because it barely does anything, but
yeah.
they just kind of freak out.
It's,
and like,
it's probably the same animation as the brick.
Yeah.
Like, when you do that, and then they stagger, basically,
yeah.
but then they don't get... I don't think it actually damages them. I think it just stuns them.
Yeah.
Just annoying. But, yeah, so the soldiers...
So, yeah, after they get back and Marlene's...
Oh, God. I find it interesting for Marlene and the whole Firefly thing near the end.
Mm-hmm.
They could have gone two different routes. They could have actually made them super sympathetic.
Yeah.
And then you would be really conflicted, like... These guys aren't bad people, and they really want to get this cure. I wonder what I should do. But it looks like they purposely made them just... dickish enough
yeah.
that you're like, fuck these guys. Because she's nice enough, but then she turns around and says,
yeah.
oh, by
I
the way.
I think she goes really quickly to, oh, get him out of here. You
yeah.
know,
get
like,
him out of here. And then does
if
the
he
soldier,
does anything, kill him.
Yeah.
Like,
does
yeah.
the soldier have to, like, push you really
right.
hard and
and
stuff?
He just
like,
keeps nudging you. Like,
he nudges
keep
you
walking,
with a fucking gun.
Yeah.
And my feeling was, look, I just gave
right,
you the
exactly.
fucking cure. You think you should be kissing my
you came
feet.
To me. You begged me
yeah.
to take this girl to the Fireflies, and now...
And now you're treating her like shit. Like, oh, push him
and
out.
She even says, like, all my people died. Like, you know, she
oh,
had to
trip.
Get there, and she's like, I made so many wrong choices and mistakes.
I was amazed she was there, because they kept making it look like she was going to die
oh,
with
right.
that gut wound that she had.
And you don't know if Tess was lying or not when she was like, oh, she's going to be fine, or something like...
Yeah,
she said
well,
something where it was kind of gray
yeah,
area.
Yeah,
because
they kept
like,
saying, like,
lying?
Oh, I'll walk it off or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, in a lot of normal video games, okay, you probably could, but since these guys are being realistic, you
yeah.
know, other people have died with less.
Right.
So... Mm. But yeah, so they made them just annoying enough that I was like, nah, I'm not gonna, I'm not
right.
gonna do this. Fuck you guys.
I'm going to eradicate all of the Fireflies.
Right. But I didn't realize you don't have a choice. Like
yeah.
When she initially has that scene, I was thinking, okay, so when I get control, maybe I'm gonna.
You
be
wanted your dialogue tree to pop up.
Yeah, like some Mass
like,
Effect thing. Like
yeah.
I was like, maybe I'm gonna have this final choice, kind of like you play Human Revolution.
No.
Like, where you get the choice right at the end. Like, you never had the choice before, but now right at the end, you're presented literally with, like, pick A, B, or C,
oh,
or
really?
Whatever. Yeah, it's pretty dumb the way they did it. But I thought something similar was going to happen with
but
the
instead,
last
we just had the ellipses, like,
oh, yeah.
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead. It's like, no, we're going to keep going with what we're doing.
Yep.
That's good. But, yeah, I think, I don't know, Joel, it always makes me think about that whole ending bit. Like, what would you do if you were Joel?
Yeah, right. Do you want to save everyone, or would it be too painful to lose another daughter?
Yeah.
That you'd be willing to kill everyone.
And I think that's what everybody, like, everyone hands down always spends like an extra half hour after the ending, and it seems like, especially when people mention on like Facebook statuses or reviews or whatever, like that's the most agonizing thing. Not even really the other part of the game, even though the other part of the game has its own ups and downs.
Yeah.
But it's always the fact that Joel made that choice that everybody seems to come back around to.
Yeah.
And I can tell because people are like, I don't know if I agree with that, and other people are like, no, I would do the exact same thing.
Yeah, we mentioned before where people were saying like, oh, I just killed all three of the doctors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The doctor and the two nurses, just because fuck them. Like,
yeah,
that's a little bit.
I didn't see. I didn't go that far, and yeah. I thought like, if they came towards me to attack, okay, fine. But they didn't. They were like, no. I think one of them even had their hands up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna.
Yeah, the woman was cowering, and the guy was like pressed up against the
yeah,
wall.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna do that, but. The other thing is, if we were in a normal situation, I think maybe I would consider what he did to be really selfish and awful. But considering we've spent the whole game going through these awful groups of people that will rape and kill and steal and all this stuff
yeah.
without any, you know, care in the world.
And David even brings it up at one point. He's like, you did what you had to do to survive. You killed all these people
yeah.
because they didn't give you a choice. Well, we didn't have a choice either. David has a choice because they are eating people,
right.
and he is presumably raping little girls. So.
Right, like they're taking this weird, brutal survivalist stance that they don't need to take.
Yeah.
He could have been hunting like her. I mean, granted, maybe at some point they'd have to be slightly cannibalish, but it looks like
cannibalish.
They
like, I just eat just sprinkling of flesh on my
just,
food.
Just
please.
A bite, just
yeah.
to tide me over.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, like if they really did, if there were a lot of them. And they ran out of food completely. It's like, I'm not saying it's cool to be a cannibal. I'm just saying, like, considering...
You heard it here. EG promotes cannibalism.
But considering how
episode.
Desperate they were,
yeah,
that's probably what they would do. But not necessarily because they wanted to, you know, they enjoyed it. But just because they had to.
But and it seems like, you know, Joel's brother... You know, they would start growing food and all of that.
Yeah.
You know, so
if they yeah if
you become civil, you can re-civilize yourself,
right.
and grow food and not have to be cannibals. That
yeah, it almost feels like it magnified everyone's personalities. Perhaps like okay, so people were like this before the like apocalypse happened.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, now that they don't have any inhibitors
right.
on them, they're like, oh, let's just fucking rape and kill everybody.
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna give a shit. No one's gonna stop us.
That's the excuse you seem to see in a lot of zombie movies and stuff like that. There's
yeah.
always the people that went off the deep end because they were already headed there.
Right.
And society isn't preventing that anymore.
I mean, you do get people that are nudged. Like, for example, Joel always seems slightly jerkish, like, before
yeah.
everything happened. Like, he
yeah.
looked like he still was kind of selfish and into himself, but he still cared enough about people that he knew that he wasn't as far gone as he is now. So,
yeah.
like, it nudged him a little further. But people like David seems like maybe he already had some massive problems before this.
David
know?
Was probably so happy when this all went
oh,
down because he's like, all you can rape buffet, you know? Like,
Jesus, that's awful.
No
but,
cops to stop me.
But that's the thing. Like, if you were presented with the choice that Joel had, and you see this kind of society, not the current society, but
right.
like the Last of Us society, is that really worth killing the person you care the most about just to jumpstart that?
Yeah, what are we saving, really?
What are,
that's the that becomes the question.
Yeah, that's exactly the thing. Like, okay, you're saving humanity, but is it really humanity anymore? It's
yeah.
like, what's human about them? They're just kind of gross animals, really.
Yeah, I guess the Fireflies were supposed to be the good guys, right?
Yeah, well, that's the problem. That's it. So coming back to them purposely making the Fireflies look like dicks.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're doing that on
It's funny,
because
they're still not bad people. They're just dicks, so you're just... you're right on the precipice of...
Right.
They're not evil. I disagree with what they're doing, and they're being dicks to me, so yeah, sure.
Well, what's weird is, okay, so you pick up the little notes and the audio logs and
yeah.
all that stuff, so it sounds like they have the right intentions, and yet when you're fighting them, they're doing those kind of the battle chatter that the other people do,
yeah.
where it's like, I'm gonna fuck you up, or you've
yeah.
got no chance, or it's like, when you hear that kind of stuff, it's like, you guys don't sound like nice guys.
Right. They're not saying, we have to protect the girl, or
yeah.
like, or, you know, something like that. We have to... Save her to save us all.
Right, right. It's not like, hey, maybe there's one guy that's like, you don't have to do this. But, like, I really don't remember anybody trying to talk.
There was
down
the one
Joel.
Weird moment. Was it the last guy that you kill before you can actually get into the operating room, where he's like, "All right, just calm down," right? Like he falls on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And he
I think
says
so.
He's like crawling away from you.
But you just shoot
and then,
him.
Yeah, I just shot him like, in the head twice.
Guy.
Yeah. Because he fired at me. That's different than yeah. the doctors,
yeah.
you know?
The doctors, you know, they're just civilians. They don't have any weapons. They have that
yeah,
stupid...
he threatens you with a scalpel, but like, I'm what... saying, Joel yeah. could just slap that out of his hand and say,
like,
sit down.
Just bitch slap him, yeah. saying, nope, that's not happening.
No, Joel's beyond that. Joel will kill again.
Now, did you mess up at the with a run at the end when you're
yes, trying... one time. And
did you get tricked? Because that cutscene that plays when you fail, I thought that was
yeah,
supposed
exactly,
to happen.
Exactly. The only thing that was kind of off was it seemed to lose the background for me. Like
yes,
I,
it did. No, no, no.
Oh, it
yeah.
happened with you too.
It was like a blue, dark blue background
yeah.
or something like that. I think it was supposed to be that.
Well, I thought it was like maybe a stylistic choice where it was like, oh, everything else is going away
yeah.
and it's just this moment. But then
but
it
see,
just
that,
restarted me.
That's what
and...
threw me off because it was like. Contained like
yeah.
that, so I thought, oh, is this Joel
yeah,
like
this
suffering?
Is
oh wait,
the
no,
end
he
of Joel.
Shot me in the head.
Like, yeah,
that's it. Yeah, but no, and then they start you over in the hallway, and I'm like, oh, whoops, okay, I fucked up.
Yeah,
but yeah, it would have been nice if see, okay, I'm saying this, and I'm already realizing that you can't do it. if you could have had a choice to shoot Marlene or not. Like, if it would have been player-controlled right after, you know, she gets... she okay, you could shoot her once,
yeah.
and then she's on the ground.
She gets it in the stomach,
right.
and then she's crawling, she's like, please don't spare
and
me.
I thought that might be the player control, like, am
yeah.
I going to shoot her or not? But then when you hear Joel's, like, oh, well, you just come after us again,
yeah.
and he does it.
Yeah,
I was kind of like, well, that is true.
He's right.
It's like there's a limited number of places that you're probably going to go that's safe, and she's probably going to check all of them.
Yeah,
because...
you know the nurse and the other doctor, they're not going to come after you. But
right.
Marlene,
she's
already made it across the country
oh
once.
Oh, God, yeah.
So what's another trip to
yeah.
get Ellie again?
Yeah, so that was pretty, it's pretty heavy.
That was a brutal moment, too.
Well, what's interesting is, I'm not sure if it's on purpose, but it kind of seemed like it when I thought about it, that... she does the same thing that Joel does. Did I mention this? She does the same thing that Joel does when he's about to get shot by the soldier at the very beginning of the game. So, like, when he's carrying his daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so, that soldier shoots him, and they fall down. And then the soldier approaches
That's
him with
right.
a gun, and he's like, please don't. Is it the same thing? Do they both say
yeah,
please don't?
Yeah, I think it's a bookend there. That's a nice
showing,
touch.
That's showing, like, oh, Joel's totally past
right.
that point now. He's not that guy
Joel
anymore.
Is a soldier. He has a different cause than
right.
the guy in the beginning, but Joel can switch it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whereas maybe the early Joel, young Joel, might have been
yeah, 20 years earlier
yeah.
Joel.
Yeah. He might have let Marlene go, but this Joel's like, fuck it.
No.
you're not gonna...
Yeah, I mean... He lost his daughter in that first moment, and
yeah,
so...
Yeah, that's a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there were other little bits that I thought were funny, but I just kind of ignored for story's sake. Like, oh, how easily he got a car that had enough
oh,
gas
yeah.
for them to
Yeah,
get
when
back.
They cut to that, and he's just, like, driving, I'm like,
well,
what is
like,
this?
You really don't want to have to do that trek all the way back.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
like... And they are in a building... That looks like he was in a parking structure, right?
Yeah.
So he was trying
yeah,
to get
it was.
Out.
It was a parking garage, and so you're assuming that the Fireflies had all these cars, and they
yeah.
had some gassed up and stuff.
And he killed
but...
so many. Like, I wonder, numerically speaking, like, how many of those guys were still alive by the end of... Like, you could go through that part where they're all trying to get you, and
yeah.
probably avoid killing most of them, if not all of them. But, like, I would think if you went... totally bloodthirsty and killed everybody. How many Fireflies
are you gonna left? Are you gonna do another playthrough?
I don't know.
It's so brutal. It takes so much out of you when you're playing.
It really does. Like the whole middle, I actually did feel kind of a little drained. You know, like before
yeah.
it switched to winter, I was like, wow, this. Well, actually, you know, when it hit fall, I kind of picked my momentum. But right before fall, I was like, wow, this is.
Any time where I had to replay something
yeah.
more than twice, which
oh,
did
Jesus.
Happen, I was like,
well, did you
this
do
infuriating?
What difficulty did you do?
Normal.
You do? Oh,
normal even.
I did normal and I still fucked up. But then Chase did hard mode.
Yeah,
and I kept hearing that. You know that noise,
yeah.
like when,
yep.
right after your neck gets chewed out.
Yeah.
I kept hearing that over and over again.
Or
like,
when the clickers rip your jaw open.
The clickers can do that?
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They Or is it just the bloater?
No. The bloaters do that.
Oh, yeah, the bloaters.
But then I kept getting the fucking clicker thing where they chew out that, like, tendon or whatever in your neck. Yeah, stretches. And he's like, which looks really fucking disgusting.
I didn't like any of the times Ellie died, either, when you're playing as her, and even if you just fail something and she dies. Like,
that was actually kind of hard, the one where you're holding out with David against that incoming horde.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I kept trying to set those traps, but, like...
You know what I did not try to do, and as soon as I did it, it was much easier. Run back down the corridor.
Oh.
Yeah. You can go back down the corridor. And I did. I ran down there to make something and to reload and stuff. And then I came back out.
God damn it.
I know.
I stayed in that box room. I know. Like maybe three or four times. Yeah.
And,
oh, Jesus Christ. But yeah, so, okay. So we've got kind of almost everything covered. But the question that I pose to you is, at the very end, do you think that Ellie believed Joel?
No. I don't think she did.
But do you think she knew actually what happened, or do you think she just knew that he lied?
I think... I don't...
Because that's the tough part, right? Like, you see on her face, like, she's just accepting it because she doesn't want to leave him.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want, you know, to have to go through all that shit again. But I kind of wondered, like, they don't show... Like, was she totally out the whole time? In between, you know, the water getting drowned and getting saved.
Oh, right.
Like, did she know that she was going to have her brain opened
up? I was going back and forth on that, too, during the game and during when Marlene was talking and picking up those things. I feel like she was out. I feel like they took her right from that, made sure she was alive, and then put her on the table.
So maybe she didn't really realize that... Maybe she thought it was going to be like, oh, just check my blood kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
There's... Like, I can't figure out, if she really knew that she was going to die in the process, would that explain maybe why she was so quiet when they were starting to approach the hospital? Like, remember, you know, like, that whole thing where Joel's like, come on, give me the ladder, and she's all quiet and sitting down.
Yeah, there were moments, and I'm like, something's very wrong. Different with her. Yeah. Yeah, she was sitting, she was getting distracted by the deer, which was a good foreshadowing, too. There was the deer cutout, or like a stone carving into the wall when that section started. And Joel was like, did you hear me, Ellie? Like, come on.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she's definitely getting distant. So maybe that is what's happening, where she's like, okay, maybe she knows she's going to have to, she might die in the process. But she's like, I've gone this whole way. And Joel even says, we can turn around now, after the giraffes.
Yeah, that was a really nice sequence, too. Did you... I accidentally... Okay, I'm the dumb player, because...
You killed a giraffe?
No. I didn't go in that doorway at first, because I was like... I check every fucking corner for stuff, so I thought that was going to move the story along. So I'm like, fuck this. And I went already up to the roof, because I was checking stuff on the roof, and I already saw the giraffe walking away.
Oh, so you didn't pet it or anything?
No. So I was like, I know I missed something. So I had to go back, and then I did it correctly.
Oh, like you restarted the checkpoint or whatever?
Yeah. Those checkpoints, by the way, are very retarded.
I didn't even use them. I just used
No, I mean, like, the automatic thing. One is really retarded. Because, like, you notice sometimes you'll shoot, kill a bunch of guys, and then you die. And then sometimes when it reloads, it'll have already done some of those things for you. It's like, you probably killed two of those guys already. Like,
the other thing that happened to me a couple times was I would collect a bunch of stuff and save.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I picked up from that save point, like, let's say I turned the game off.
You didn't have it?
I did not have it.
Okay.
And it happened to me two or three times.
So I would think that's kind of one of the bigger failings of the game. Like, there's something about the checkpoint save system that's not working right.
Right.
Like, it just decided on its own what to give you and where to place you, basically. But, so that's pretty... That's a pretty good game overall. There's going to be DLC... So, I don't know what they're going to do. I'm
wondering what that's going to be.
I really hope it's not the two of them. I really hope it's somebody else for the sequel,
because there's obviously going to be a sequel.
Are they really?
Yeah, just because it's making so much money. But here's the good thing. They said Joel and Ellie's story, that's done.
Okay, good.
They said they don't want to touch that again in a sequel. We don't know about the DLC.
You
know,
wouldn't you almost feel that the sequel, like, it wouldn't feel as important.
Yeah.
Because unless it's an...
It's another girl with cure
and
stuff.
If you have another character, whether it's a girl or guy or adult or whatever, that also has that immunity, that's going to feel like you're duping it, like you're duplicating it. And it's also going to feel less important anyway, because it's like, you just did that important story already.
Right.
So why are you trying to make us care about it? Like, I don't know.
I kind of feel the same way about Walking Dead, too. I wonder what they're going to do with that.
Oh, man. Like, how do you get a better pairing that...
Yeah.
No, but I mean, in general, though, like, if there's another Walking Dead, the DLC, the 400 days or whatever...
500 days 500 or something?
Whatever.
Of summer.
Those have different characters, but it's like, how do you beat Lee and Clementine? I was going to say Ellie and Joel. Not so different.
1.0. This is 2.0.
That makes you wonder, like... What if they bumped into each other? Instead of, like, Henry and Sam, it was, like, awesome Lee and Clementine.
Crossover.
Man, that would be really... And then Lee trying to smack some sense into Joel. Like, what's
up with
you,
that would be a battle. I would like to see that.
Two, like, amazing characters just kind of, like, arguing with each other.
Yeah.
I would think somebody like Lee might be able to get through to Joel, though. Because Lee was pretty compelling.
Yeah.
And he also had
unless
his own
ups
and
downs. Unless you played the ellipses version of the game.
The asshole one. Well, Joel would probably be like, well,
look
I'm
around,
just going to keep...
Look around,
shifty eye. Yeah. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Yeah. But I think...
They're very... It's so... The similarities are amazing between the two games. We talked about that a lot already. Yeah. But, I mean, even the look of the two guys. They both have beards, you know. They're both kind of like... scrappier looking guys. Like,
well, what's interesting, if you directly compare Lee and Joel, is that Lee actually has kind of like the opposite upbringing. Like, he had a... Like, with Joel, I don't know what his parents were like, or if he still had his parents. They're kind of not even mentioned at all, so maybe they're already dead.
You're right, but Lee's parents had the
Lee's parents
pharmacy,
had the pharmacy,
and
he had a brother. Yeah. You know, well, that didn't work out so great. And
right, but his brother was a doctor or something, right?
Right, so his background, everybody in his family, at least to some degree, were well-educated.
Yeah.
He was a teacher? He was like a... Did he have like a... He was like a history teacher or something like that?
For some reason, I don't know.
He must be like a history teacher because they get to a point where Omid and him are talking, mm-hmm. and then they're talking about Civil War things or something, like some nerdy history thing, and then what's her name, the girl?
Krissa? No.
I forgot her name.
The chick with Omid.
With Omid.
Yeah.
So it's like, who would be interested in Civil War history or whatever like that? And then Lee, like, geekily raises his hand slowly, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of cute because he's a nerd. But he's very different. Like, his backstory is very different from Joel. So that would make them super interesting.
Where's Lee from?
Shit.
Because Joel's from Texas.
Joel's from Texas.
They're all from
but
Texas.
Lee is from Mississippi? No. What? God,
but the South.
It's that city. It's that city that they're in. It's been
it's
a while
not
since
Atlanta,
I played.
Is it?
But near... It was, like, near Atlanta, though. Because remember, what's-his-face was with them.
From the show and the... Asian
Glenn.
Game.
Glenn.
Yeah, Glenn.
So, he didn't go too far.
Yeah. But that's... Yeah. Joel is uneducated, had a kid really early.
And he's more, like, physical, too.
Yeah.
In general. But, like, Lee, like, you know, he can handle himself, but he always felt a little, like, leaner to me.
Yeah.
You know? So, they're very interesting, like, compare and contrast. I kind of want to play both of them again. Both games to now thinking about that to kind of compare them a little bit better, but it's a hell of a game. Did you try the multiplayer at all?
Nope. You?
It's okay. It's sort of like the Uncharted multiplayer. Like, it's not bad.
Yeah.
I could see people playing it for a while, but I just played a little and I'm like, okay, I get the gist of it.
It's tough. I can't even think of another multiplayer outside of Call of Duty series that like is worth playing. Often, you know?
The Team Fortress. Well, that's only multiplayer, though.
Right.
Like, think of a game that's single player
only.
Definitely
not Bioshock.
No.
Not
Shit.
Bioshock 2 multiplayer.
Oh, God. Fucking awful.
Yeah.
But a game that's primarily single player, that they shoehorned in a multiplayer. I would say it's limited, but Mass Effect 3's multiplayer is actually kind of fun, but that's because they do, like, the horde mode thing.
Yeah.
Like zombies, where it's like, oh, you have to survive 10 waves of enemies.
Right.
So, if you like that kind of gameplay, you'll like that.
Yeah, and then other games like, you know, Gears of War on Xbox, but they put a major emphasis on multiplayer, you know?
I wouldn't call that shoehorned.
Right, right.
But the when they announced Last of Us had multiplayer, I was like, oh, really? Like, yeah. I didn't even know. Why? Like, it seemed like an afterthought or something. But it's pretty well integrated. Like, you have the same abilities that you do in the regular game. You can do the hearing mode, whatever. But I noticed it seems like the hearing mode, like, you can't just constantly do it. It seems like maybe it needs to charge up again or something. Mm. But it's pretty useful. And then they do the whole factions. Well, it's called factions, right? And all the different weird groups of people you meet along the way are kind of those factions that you can play as in multiplayer.
Oh, cool.
And so it's supposed to be kind of a persistent multiplayer where the character you get, I think you keep until, like, they die too many times or something happens where you fail too often. And so that then that character effectively dies, and then you have to get, like, a new one for that faction.
That's interesting. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and then when you win, you collect, like, supplies and stuff. So that, I guess, is how you level up. I only played it a little. Like, I didn't play it enough to really start, you know, leveling up my character. But I got the gist of it. It's pretty tough, though, because a lot of people, you know, if you ever think you're crafty as Joel, a lot of people are basically doing that. It's like you versus a bunch of other Joels, and you're like, oh, God.
I could see why they would limit the hearing ability thing, because if someone's really good, they're just using that, and then they pop up once and shoot you in the head.
Well, the other thing, too, for multiplayer, as long as you're not, if you're running, jumping, or doing anything that obviously makes noise, then you show up on the hearing. If you're sneaking or crouching, you don't actually show up.
Oh, so it's like when you're playing as Ellie and you're trying to find David after you've stabbed him the first two times, and then he starts crouching around.
Yeah,
and
yeah, like he's more crafty, right? Yeah, so it's a lot like that in the multiplayer. So
just want to play against David all the time online, then that's what you're
doing. They do this other thing, too, where, well, at least from what I noticed, every time you get shot, it's sort of like in Call of Duty, the Last Man Standing, or mm-hmm. Is it Last Man Standing?
No.
It's the one where it's like you don't fully die. You're kind of lying down, and you're trying to, like, survive.
It's two different names in the different series, depending on...
I thought it was Last Man Standing, but it's something like that, though.
Yeah.
So you'll be on the ground. You can't do anything, but you're also not dead.
Right.
So they give a teammate, for example, like 10, 20 seconds to try to save your ass.
Yeah.
But that means that somebody's just, like, continually punching on your face, you know? Yeah. So, like, I would come across this guy just a little too late, and I would see him, like, punch, punch, shoot, shoot, and this guy just goes, bleh, on the ground, like, you couldn't take it. So that looks a little funny, because everybody pretty much does that, unless there's some ability where you just insta-kill somebody. But it's worth trying at least once.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, because there are a few trophies that are tied to the multiplayer, so...
Good luck with that.
I got to get something better than 5% for the game. That was so demoralizing after going through that journey and, like, 5%
either
complete.
You have to be a super completionist, or I guess you have to do really well in the multiplayer or something like that to get more trophies. But overall, excellent job. Animation was just superb through the whole thing.
Really good.
If there's one thing that that Naughty Dog does well now, it's the blending of animation. Like, they've done it. I mean, they've kind of perfected it with Uncharted. But one thing, like, as an animator that I always struggle with is, depending on the game that you're working on, they don't always necessarily have that blending in mind. So, for example, you're running, and then you may just totally stop, or you may try to strafe left, or you may jump onto this, or kind of like what Assassin's Creed does.
Right.
Where it's like Assassin's Creed is also really good at kind of blending from one animation type to another without it looking like it. Like
so it's not going, jerky.
Exactly. Yeah. And Last of Us, I think some people complained that Last of Us felt a little sluggish. A little like you don't have the instant control, but it's because of that, because it's realistic, like how Nathan Drake is realistic, in that if you had to turn on a dime, basically you can't instantly turn, you know, 90 degrees. You'll kind of mosey on.
Well,
like,
just for a comparison point, I played Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare after this, and riding horses in both of the games, in each of the games, it is awful in Red Dead compared to Last of Us.
That's interesting, because that's the whole thing in Red
Dead,
right?
Yeah, I know. No, it's so hard. You have to, like, put your both sticks into it, like, full on.
Maybe they make you work for it more because it's such a big part of the game.
Yeah.
Like, for Last of Us, you do it a couple times, but it's not, like, a big
feature.
Before
they kill your horse.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Poor horse.
Brutal, too. Shoot him up, and then he rolls down the hill, and he's just, like, a bloody mess at the bottom.
Yeah, I remember, like, what was it, Ellie, right? And she's like, oh, shit. But, like, she didn't really care enough. She was like, oh, God, I got more pressing things to worry about.
Two things people, someone needs to count in the game. How many people you actually kill, like living human people throughout, if you end up killing everyone. And how many times Ellie says, fuck. Or a variation of.
Fuck. Because, Jesus, Joel.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, fucker.
Like, yeah.
Oh my god. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. And Joel never says anything about, like, but David does. David's like, you need to watch your mouth or something
that.
Like,
that's pretty hilarious. Like, if you're playing as Joel, I think there's only a handful of times that he ever really comments when she says something when you kill somebody. But most of the time, I like hearing her say whatever it is because that gives me an impression of, like, how well I did.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes she's like, that's fucking awesome or something like that. I'm like,
10 out of 10. Right.
10 out of 10.
Awesome kill there, Joel.
Yeah. No, but I like their characters a lot. They did a really good job making them feel like likable characters. I mean, likable. Joel's likable in the sense that I understand him.
Yeah.
And that I like him for his realism. I'm sure some people don't like him because he's kind of a dick, sort of. But it's understandable. Yeah. But excellent game. I think it's probably it's probably all I can think of.
I don't know what else we can get into.
But yeah, no, that was a big thing. The only question, and maybe this is what they'll bring up in the sequels, is somebody going to continually try to find a cure, or at a certain point are people going to say, just fuck it, let's learn to live in this world, and that's it, you know?
Yeah, quarantine areas or something, you know? Like, we've managed to rid this whole area. You know, it seems like every zombie property does something
like that. The
quarantine
thing, there is a question. The quarantine thing brought up this question that they never really answered, where they mention, like, rations are really low and all this stuff, but if that's the case, and this is, like, 20 years later, where the hell are they getting rations from? Like, it doesn't look like people are still producing things in, like, factories.
Yeah, how long do canned foods really last?
Like, I don't think they're actually lasting 20 years.
Yeah.
It's a little too long. But they never indicate that there's any facility or anything where they're actively making these things.
Yeah.
And everything's in disarray. Like, cities are just still destroyed. Like, it doesn't look like anybody's actually started trying to rebuild things, which is a little weird if you think about it. Like, nowhere are they trying to make houses?
Do we know anything about the rest of the world, by the way?
No.
Yeah,
that's
even news or anything, right?
That's the other thing I was wondering, because it's like, maybe other countries aren't even experiencing this, or they've cast the United States as like the don't go there, so like they've actually quarantined the United States, like.
Yeah, like Children of Men type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Know? I actually thought that the whole game had this crazy vibe that was a mix between Children of Men and The Road.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I was like, wow, this... Like, I could tell from the beginning, like, this is going to be a downer.
Even then, it's not quite as depressing as The Road.
No, yeah, because nothing... Oh, Jesus, The Road is just...
That is unbearable.
If you thought that The Last of Us didn't quite tug at your heartstrings enough, just go ahead and watch The Road afterwards.
If you
want
to feel really shitty,
like,
read the book or watch the movie.
Yeah, watch The Road and just... Wait, I can't remember in The Road if there was... Did things just dissolve, like, society, or was it because of a similar thing? I can't remember.
They don't say, do they? Like, I don't even think they say.
Like, I don't think there's a disease or anything like that. It just seems like everybody's kind of broken down into this, like, fend for yourself scenario.
Yeah.
And I don't remember. But you can pretend in the for The Road that maybe The Road is somebody else's story in this world, because it's not so far off.
Right.
But it's way more depressing than The Last of Us could ever be.
You know, while we were speculating as to what these people could do to return to normalcy, I think if they can't find a cure, I think they need to do something that kills the pollen, kills the spores.
Like, nobody, like, get some flamethrowers or something.
Well, but, I mean, you think if it becomes really windy, even if you have this zone where you've built this nice area, like Joel's brother... These spores, what's going to stop them from just drifting in and taking out all your...
Like, there's...
Watch your guards.
There's one... There's that kind of goes hand in hand with this little continuity thing I noticed that they don't really touch on because I think it would be too complicated. But, for example, whenever Joel goes into an area where he needs the gas mask...
Yeah. He's like, oh, there's spores.
Oh, there's spores. Okay, so gas mask, whatever. But he just takes it off afterwards and everything's hunky-dory. Like, what about... you know there's spores in your hair and your clothes and all that stuff, and you're like wiping your mouth and stuff. It's like, you're telling me none of that.
How do they
you?
Work? Is it, does it need to be a huge, immediate, concentrated dose to hit you, to take you over? Or
because otherwise people would be accidentally infected all the time.
Yeah. Even outside of your mask that you're grabbing.
Yeah.
And then you're eating food or something.
Like, do you have you're... to, like, what would you do to clean it up enough so that you'd be safe enough to put back on your face later on?
Right. You feel like you have to go through one of those rooms where they spray you down, you burn all your clothes, you get into
every time.
Yeah.
But then that's a good point. Like, the whole spores thing, like, it's a clever way of spreading the disease, or the, not the disease, the infestation.
Well, you know, it actually exists. It's a real thing in nature. It's the insect.
I saw that, there's a National Geographic
I saw something about it a long time ago, and then someone pointed it out after this, and I'm
they
like,
they used, I'm pointing at the screen, but the they used in the intro, the motion graphics intro, where you hear the news, that's like a really, not distorted, like, they used the little growth stuff from one of those clips from National Geographic.
That was nice and creepy. For being as abstract as it was, that was a definite creepy
moment. Yeah,
because
they're all expanding and growing and fluttering away and all this shit. But the National Geographic thing had been, the one I saw was about ants getting infected by cordyceps.
That's
and it's creepy. They don't go and kill each other, but it does, like, make them walk off somewhere.
Yeah.
And then they just stay there, and then they had the time elapse thing where it grew out of their head.
Yep.
And it's I thought, wow, it's really gross. I have the art book, and there's some really interesting concept drawings of how they came up with the idea for, like, how to make it look almost alien, but how to still keep it looking human.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating because they totally use that as their basis for the mutated cordyceps that they have in the game, where you see kind of in their design for the, like, especially clickers and stuff, how it probably started.
Yeah,
like how it kind of pushes apart the face, and then it just kind of grows out of certain things, and then...
And it's very fungal-looking, so that's of our nature, you know. So.
Yeah, so I gotta hand it to them. They made it look like a creepy alien mutant thing, even though it's technically still a person and a fungus, and that's it.
Oh, and it's so depressing, the evolution of this thing, too, because, you know, the first guys, they're just like... standing there hunched over,
you
know?
And you can hear them, they yell gibberish and stuff, because they can still manage something, but they can't, like, they can't do the clicking thing. Like, they're in that in-between step. Like,
oh, one moment that we didn't talk about, which was where Ellie was bonding with, the...
Sam? Oh.
Sam? Yeah, that was his name, right?
Yeah,
Henry and Sam?
Yeah.
Was bonding with him, and he was like, you know... Did they all go to heaven and stuff like that?
And she's like, I'd like to think so. And he's like, no, really? Do they? And she's like, no.
But she also said, like, they're not in there.
Right.
Like, they're not in there. But you have to wonder, because of how this works with the ant, you know,
well,
if they are for some point, because this gibberish, is that them still trying to...
I was listening to, there was a bunch of other people doing, like, spoiler discussions, and somebody claimed that there is some document or one of those audio things where they say that supposedly, like, it's a multi-step process.
Yeah.
Where there are some initial steps where the person still can think and stuff, but they actually have lost physical control. So that's got to be the worst, because you're seeing yourself attack everybody, and you can't do anything. And then that slowly, your mental state deteriorates from then, and then you just turn into whatever that is. So I would say that's the worst part. Maybe those runners are kind of like that. Like, they're trying to yell.
That gets really depressing.
Yeah, right? Like, they're like, no! Like, they, maybe they do want to yell to
scare you away. Just mindless
monsters
that you can feel okay with killing.
Right.
You know, the humans, you have moral dilemmas at certain points in the game.
Right.
But these things, if you go back and play it again and think... Maybe they are still alive in there this whole time.
The clickers, I think, at the point that they become clickers, they're totally gone. But the runners, where they're yelling gibberish and stuff, I think that's the closest to what they were describing. That's like they've lost any kind of physical control, but they can still. It's like you can see everything, like some horrible window. You know, can you imagine that? Like, no, don't kill my friend.
In that case,
God.
Joel is one of the biggest mass murderers of all time. Like,
but they would kill him.
Right?
So it's like, he doesn't really have a choice. If somebody's charging you, what do you do, really? You don't do the Batman approach and try to, like, stun them all. Because what's the point? It's going to infect them. Once they're infected, you can't, like, rip it out of their head.
Right.
So...
And we made sure that we didn't get a cure for that at the end of the game, so...
Well, you know, Joel said there's other people, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
There's at least a dozen other ones.
Well, that almost would have worked if he had... Well, I'm sure he doesn't want to mess with her clothes, but it's like if he had dressed her up yeah. so it looked like she hadn't
They
almost...
just sent me back out in my hospital gown?
Yeah, because it's like, if you think about it, why, if they said, hey, we don't really need you, why would they have gotten you all prepped for surgery?
Yeah, and they don't bother to wait for you to wake up in the hospital and tell you this themselves. No. They're just like, hey, throw her in the back of a car in this hospital gown and drive out of here, guys.
Yeah, that's totally trustworthy. Yeah.
There's no way she bought it in the end.
No, no.
And it's whether or not she just felt reserved and or just felt like, okay, this is my station in life now. Like, okay, right. I want to be with Joel. It's not an awful thing. He is lying to me.
But he did it to protect you.
Maybe I'm okay with it. Or, like, I have to be okay with it. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you don't get a lot of choices in that world, so you kind of stick with what you're given.
Not the hopeful message at the end, but, hey, they're both alive.
It's still kind of hopeful, because they are going back to Tommy's place, and Tommy's place seems like one of the few places that actually is trying to survive correctly. Like, they have families that care about each other.
And some semblance of family life going on in there, and Joel
has his brother.
All
it takes is one thing to
fuck
it up, but hopefully, because they have power and they have, like, big walls and stuff, you hope that it lasts.
I am glad that the sequel is not going to be like, oh god, we're under siege in this thing. And like,
here's the point of view of Tommy. Then no, I don't want it.
That's like them like half-ass cheating, you know, like,
I don't want that at all. Oh god,
Tommy, it's like another 20 years in the future and Tommy has a daughter now, and then it's like, geez. Tommy must protect his daughter.
We can skip
dumb. Don't do it.
All right. But, okay.
Yeah, I think that's it. Well done, Naughty Dog.
Yeah, excellent game. Can't wait till... What's next? Probably Uncharted 4. I know they said they didn't want to make another one, but considering how successful they've been, I'm sure they're going to get pushed into making another Uncharted.
Are they supposed to have a new IP for PS4?
I don't know.
I've been hearing something about that, but...
Maybe?
Would they have a team enough to, like... How big is Naughty
Dog?
I don't really
have
perspective.
They must have gotten bigger because they were making Last of Us while they were finishing up Uncharted 3.
Okay,
so they definitely had to have had more people.
Maybe they have their PS4 title almost ready while they were finishing up Last of Us.
Could be.
And then Uncharted 4, which they're going to do.
I'm sure, like, next year's E3, they'll wow us with something. A teaser, maybe. But, yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for sticking with us. Hope you guys had some interesting things to think about from our spoiler discussion. If you'd like to mention anything that maybe we missed or anything you'd like us to discuss further, you can always email us at nameofgamepodcast@gmail.com. We have a Facebook group that we add a lot of interesting stuff to on a regular basis, which is also
Thank you, Colin.
Yeah, Colin.
Colin's Playground, as we call it. Yeah.
Which is just In the Name of Game. We have a Twitter, which is @InTheNameOfGame, and then we have a website, which is InTheNameOfGame.com. Where you can listen to this episode and all our previous ones as well. In the meantime, hope you guys are enjoying your weekend. 4th of July is coming up. Woohoo!
Yay!
Yay! Have a great week, guys. Bye!
Bye!